Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our third consecutive summer here in the Yungazo Bunmir Learning Program. Very excited to be back, give this year again. The topic for the summer, as you saw on the sheets, on the signs, all that, is the topics revolving around coffee, around the drink that has become a staple of the American diet, of the American drinking habit, coffee. And it's not really, I have to admit, it's a little bit of a ploy. It's not really true that these shiurim are specific to coffee drinkers or even tea drinkers or anyone who's particularly interested in some weird way in coffee. It's not really limited to that. It's really different topics that are in Archaim, that are in the halachos of daily living, that happen to also relate to and sometimes revolve around the drinking of coffee. Different topics that are generally very vague and amorphous that you can talk about in different contexts. Here we can talk about them in the context of coffee, that's what we're going to try to do over the next couple of weeks. We mentioned that coffee is the staple of the American drinking habit, of the American diet. The truth is that even the country, what's the one place you think it's not the staple? What's the place where the hot drink is different? England, right? Tea. So the truth is, the studies show that that's not true anymore. I saw an article 2 years ago which mentioned that, in fact, in England, after the 1970s, the consumption of coffee actually tripled, and the tea did not grow. And in 1986, coffee overtook tea in sales in the UK, and it is still leading now, and they give different factors. They had a whole analysis. Coffee's a lot cooler, it takes a lot less time to make, it's sweeter, it's all that stuff. In England, they're pushing to try to get tea back in style, but it's not really coming back. I remember reading this because I thought I was going to England at the time. I thought I had to give a shiur, and I thought this was going to be very interesting. Turns out, they didn't want me there. But it paid off 2 years later. I was able to quote it just now and sound like I read, so that's good. Anyways, we want to talk about coffee because it seems like it's very relevant in all of our lives, whether or not you drink it. So let's start with the following question. And this is a scary question, which is probably why we have such a small attendance tonight. Are we allowed to drink coffee? Is it mutter? Is it permissible to drink coffee? So it's hopefully an open shut case. But let's look at some Maamar Makom to discuss this. If you look at source number one, or really source number two, but if you look at the section number one, when crave turns to addiction, is coffee addictive and is there any issue with that? So if you look in source number two, there's an article published in the Smithsonian that it's not so current, it's not so recent, but it's, 4 years old now? There they say very clearly that they discovered in 1994 already, they knew it for a little long before, but they proved in 1994 that coffee is, in fact, addictive, and it finally made it into the DSM, the Manual of Mental Disorders, Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, that coffee is in fact a addictive substance. Not really coffee we're talking about here, we're talking about caffeine, but obviously coffee contains caffeine. So caffeine is something that is addictive, and in fact it leads to withdrawal. Some people may or may not know about this from a week before Yom Kippur, or from just a day where they miss their cup in the morning, but caffeine is in fact addictive. So if that's so, is there any issue with that? Or maybe that's not a problem. So I really like to drink my coffee. I really like to drink my soda or my power drink. So is there anything inherently wrong with that? So if you look in source number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein has in tshuva from a while back where he writes about a very interesting thing. He writes about a substance called marijuana, which is Yiddish for marijuana. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva to try to understand. He says that it's been... Note, Jacob, close your ears. So he said it's been noticed in the last couple of years that in our yeshiva, or maybe not our yeshiva, but in some of the yeshivas, there are bachrim, there are people who learn the yeshivas who are starting to pick up this habit of smoking hashish or marijuana. That's what they're doing. That's their new habit.
Cigarettes.
Okay, so maybe we'll talk about cigarettes in a second. But this tshuva is about marijuana. Rav Moshe has two other tshuvas about cigarettes, where he's not as machmir as people would like to think, but he probably would be nowadays. But anyways, this tshuva is about marijuana. So he says that he thinks it's baru, pashit, it's very simple. This is, in fact, an open shut case that is absolutely usser. It's a dine Torah all across the board. It's usser to smoke marijuana, to do drugs. Here he gives us five reasons. The first one is that it's not good for your health. It's not good for your brius, your makalko, the guf. The second one is what we'll discuss in a second. The third one is it's lacking kibbut av'im. Your parents probably wouldn't want you doing this as a bachur in yeshiva. Fourthly, it's kedoshim tiyu. You're being a novel brishas haTorah. Even if it were a mutter, it would be usher to do because it's such a disgusting habit. It's not the right thing to do, and it causes other isurim to happen because a person loses control of his body, so he ends up having less of a mind to keep himself. He has less inhibitions, and that's the biggest issue of all. When I spoke to Rav Twersky Shlita about this, so he said, "What sin is there in losing your mind? What sin is there in losing your inhibitions? What sin is there in being drunk or in such a state of mind where you can't control yourself? What avera is that? Where does it say in the Torah? So he said the answer is it's not a specific avera in the Torah. It's every avera in the Torah. The avi avos, the root of all averas in the whole Torah, is a lack of self-control, is a lack of inhibition. And if drugs or if alcohol can do that to a person, says Rav Moshe, that's the fifth of a long list of Yisurim that a person would be in violation of for doing these usher things. But we skipped one reason, which is the one that's important for us tonight. What's that?
So drinking alcohol, you would usher also?
Oh, so drinking alcohol is a very obviously touchy topic, but the shul has a policy about that, so I guess I can feel a little more comfortable about it. But I think he definitely would say that certainly being addicted to alcohol is a major issue. So that's what we're about to get to, about being addicted to marijuana. And in terms of drinking alcohol, yeah, it's probably very problematic to get hooked on alcohol or to even start drinking if it could lead you being hooked. Certainly in a way that is, you know, leads to out of control. Would he be mechalik between a shot of schnapps, a l'chaim at a wedding, or a l'chaim at a kiddush? Maybe. But every person has to know their bounds, and every person has to discuss with the right people to understand that. But let's get back to our topic. So marijuana. So the second Isser that he quotes here in the bold and the underline in the middle of source number one, Rav Moshe says, "Va'ochu gorim taiva gedola." If a person starts to do these drugs, so it causes within him a big desire, a big taiva, to keep doing them. A taiva so big that oftentimes a person just can't kick the habit. If he stops, he doesn't feel right. If he doesn't do it for a day, he really needs it, he craves it, he's reliant upon it. Says Rav Moshe, that's an Isser in the Torah. What Isser in the Torah is that? Moshe says an Isser of Lo Sochlu Al Hadam, which is an Isser we'll actually come back to soon in a very different context. But that Pasuk, in one of the ways that Pasuk is learned to say, is that it's an Isser for a Ben Sora Mora. Ben Sora Mora is a young boy who begins to eat and drink improperly. He's eating kosher food, he's drinking kosher drinks, but he steals it from his parents and he eats too much and he's showing signs that he's going to go down the wrong route. He's going to go off the derech in a terrible, terrible way. And because of that, the Torah prescribes a untimely in our view, but a timely in the Torah's view, death, that he is going to be a Ben Sora Mora, so he's going to be killed. That Isser, says Rav Moshe, obviously only includes what the Pasuk is talking about, a Ben Sora Mora, but he says there's a Kol Shekein that you learn from there that it's usher to become addicted to things. It's usher to be in a state, in a place in your life where you're constantly looking for more of something, where you're constantly addicted, craving, searching for that, to feed that fix. So that's an Isser in the Torah. He says you wouldn't get Malkos, we wouldn't call it a lav in terms of getting Malkos, but an Isser Daraisa there certainly would be. And says Rav Moshe, that would plug into our sugya as well. Doing drugs leads to being addicted, and being addicted to the drugs would be this issue of Lo Soch La'adam, of this issue of Ben Sora Amora. A very creative answer. The Nishmas Avram writes in a few places, but I saw it in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So if you look in source number one on the left side, that shaded area, he quotes his son-in-law, I think, who pointed out to him this Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says, Amar Le Rav L'Chia Brei, Rav says to his son, Chia, Lo Tishdi Sama, don't drink Sama, like potions, which really is like drugs, that make you feel better, make you feel good. We're not talking about medicinal for healing here, we're talking about just to feel good. So what does Rashi say? Lo Silamed Lishdos Samin, don't accustom yourself, don't get used to drinking these potions, drinking these drugs. Mibnesha tikavalahen veses, because it'll cause it to be a set staple in your life. Yehe libcha sho'alcha v'tipazer ma'os. And you will suddenly be drawn to it all the time. Your heart will drag you, your mind will drag you after. You'll be desiring that substance so often, and that's an Isser. And it'll cause you to lose all your money, which is a very astute observation that applies to things that we spoke about before as well, right? We spoke about drugs and drinking and gambling as well that would apply to. Gambling is a horrible addiction that a person could get stuck in and can ruin a person's life. These are black and white areas that about addiction that you can mamish ruin your life, and it's Rav Moshe says it's part of this Isser of Ben Sora Mora, of not being drawn, addicted to things that are not proper, that are not the right things to be drawn to. So let's come to coffee. Would this apply to coffee? Anyone? Caffeine in general?
I think there's a major difference between
coffee. No. We're looking for chumras. No, yeah.
The other one, while you get addicted, the bad part is that it brings you down as a person, it causes major issues.
Good.
Caffeine does not necessarily...
Good.
Yes, there's an addiction,
good,
but maybe it even helps you.
Good. So that's the first modifier I would suggest. The first modifier of this statement that addictions are usher. That's a simple statement that Rav Moshe makes. Addictions are usher. Things that make you addicted to them are usher. So the first modifier would be this exact point. This point that, yeah, if you're addicted to something like a drug or a drink, something terrible like that, so then, yeah, that's something that you're addicted to that's going to take you down, that's taking you in the wrong direction. It might not even inherently be, it might not be that's going to kill you on the spot, but it's taking you down the wrong route. Caffeine, a cup of coffee, maybe we'd be mechalik within caffeines, maybe a caffeine pills, sometimes people could really throw their lives away like that. But a coffee in the morning, a coffee at night, that doesn't seem to be going in the wrong direction. If it's healthy or it's neutral, maybe your mashal never would have said that. Just a good mashal. A good mashal would be if a person is told by his doctor to start jogging every day. So this is very proven that a person could become addicted to exercising. He could become addicted to jogging. What does that mean? That means that he'll jog every day consistently. And if he misses one day, his body will ache. It's the way I feel after jogging once. So his body will ache, his head will hurt, he'll feel sore everywhere. He won't be himself. So he's addicted. He's stuck on... So Ramesh is going to say that's usher? No, that's not usher. You're addicted. You're craving something that's healthy for you. The doctor told you to do this. Maybe anything that's neutral or even beneficial. So that's not something that would get into the parsha of this isser that Ramesh was talking about. Mr. Weichel just pointed out that the newest studies show that coffee is very healthy. They go back every year. It's different. But this year, coffee, a couple cups a day is very healthy for you. So meaning it wouldn't fit into this parsha, probably, of Rav Moshe's Isser, so we've saved ourselves from that. Is there any other possible issue? So if you look at source number 3, you'll see a Radvaz. The Radvaz in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the context is not for us right now, but the Radvaz points out a reason why it's usser for people to hurt themselves, to cause harm to themselves. We've spoken about this in a different context, 2 years ago in this setting. But this is what the Ravaz says. The Ravaz says that a person's body is not his own. A person not the Bala Bayis, he's not the owner of his own guf, of his own body. The body belongs to the Ribono Shalom. Hashem gives him his body to use for whatever he's supposed to use it for in this world, and he has no right to do anything wrong to the body. Lamashal, a son is given the keys to a car by his father. He doesn't own the car. He can't go and crash it. He can't do whatever he wants to it. He can't decide that he wants to crash it and collect insurance. It's not his car. Your body is not your body, and says the Radvaz, that's why a person is never allowed to inflict pain or harm on himself. Good. That's what the Radvaz says. Rav Shechter Shlita likes to point out that this applies in a very different context. That's an extreme. What about a more gray area? Again, a more gray area. So Shechter says it points out that there are people, apparently, I never was exposed to this, in colleges, that they want to study a lot. They want to be able to focus. They want to be able to stay up later. So what they'll do is they'll take Ritalin, Adderall, things like that, which are medicines for people with ADD. They'll take those medicines to keep them very focused. I think that obviously it focuses a person's attention who's usually straying. So they'll take it with an already normal attention. It'll make them super attentive. It'll take them above and beyond their normal limits. So is that okay? So I've heard Rav Shechter say this multiple times. That's not okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a certain body. He allows you to keep it in good shape. He allows you to improve it within the norms. He allows you to go and work out and get stronger and get more healthy. He doesn't allow you to change it in a way that's not natural. He doesn't allow you to go beyond your limits. He wants you to stay within the body he gave you. So he gave you this body. So to get some sort of a pill that's going to take you above and beyond, besides the possible harms, but it's going to take you above and beyond, so that's not okay. And Rav Shechter has in the past transferred that over to coffee. He has said in the past that a person is naturally, if he's supposed to be sleeping 6 hours a night, and he only slept 5, so who is he to start drinking coffee to make up for it? Be normal. Be normal. Hashem wants you to sleep a certain amount through your body. Sleep that amount, get the requisite number of hours of sleep, and then you'll function normally. Don't start pumping yourself with caffeine steroids in order to stay awake all day. So the truth is, it can't be that he means it across the board, because Rav Shechter himself, when he's having a very tired day in the Beis Medrash, he'll come in with a Coke or with a tea, so he knows that you're allowed to use caffeine in this way. What he means, probably, is that if a person's trying to keep himself up every night at 2 a.m. by drinking tons of caffeine, and he's taking himself above and beyond and possibly destroying his body, so that's not in his limits. That's not something that Hashem gave you your body to do. That's something really above and beyond, something really beyond the pale of what we're supposed to do with our bodies. And that would be an isser, that would be an issue of what this Radvaz is talking about. That would be stepping out of your bounds by using caffeine in the wrong way. But again, to wake up in the morning to bring you back to your normal self, so you're not really changing yourself, you're not really bringing yourself to any other level, you're just bringing yourself back to normal, snapping back to reality with this cup of coffee, so that's not going to be an issue whatsoever. So hopefully we dodged the bullet here. I mean, again, a person will have to look at themselves and really find out if they're actually addicted or if they're actually damaging themselves, but assuming we're all in the parsha of people who are not doing that, so seemingly it would be mutter to drink coffee. There is obviously a limitation. It has to be kosher coffee. It has to be in a kli that was tovled. You have to make a bracha, and it can't be Yom Kippur. Other than that, it should be okay to drink a cup of coffee. Although, suppositories on Yom Kippur is an interesting discussion. If a person really needs his caffeine fix, so are you allowed to take suppositories or the likes to administer caffeine to your body on a fast day? So that's a discussion the post can have. I think my friend showed me that Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Avadji Yosef point out that really you should take the caffeine easy fast pills before the fast, not on the fast. It's a discussion. But for us, drinking coffee under normal terms, we're going to say right now, should usually or generally be mutter. Good. So that was we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Let's start with the next section. Are you always allowed to drink coffee? Is there any time of day, time of year, aside from what we just mentioned, that a person must refrain, must hold back from drinking his cup of coffee? So the answer is that we have to look at a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim in source number 3. The pasuk tells us, "Lo sochlu al hadam, lo sinachshu, v'lo se'onenu." Don't eat on the blood. That's what the words in the pasuk say. And then it says, "Don't do kishuf. Don't do these sorcery, magic, these weird things that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to do. Don't do these things. Lo sochlu al hadam, and don't do kishuf. Don't do sorcery." What does this mean, lo sochlu al hadam? Don't eat on the blood. What in the world does that mean? So this is a machlokas in the mafarshim. But the Gemara actually solves it. The Pshut al Shamikra, the very basic understanding of the Pasuk, the Ramban and the Rashbam point out, is something to do with the context. The context is what? The context is the context of sorcery, of Kishuf. So Lo Soch La Adam sounds like it's some sort of sorcery practice. Says the Rashbam, it was a practice to, I don't know, they used to eat blood, they used to eat a meal by a guy who was just killed by his kever, some weird thing like that, and in that way they would summon up the demon somehow. The Ramban says some other funny thing that they would put together blood and drink it during the day or something. Some weird practice they used to do. So that doesn't seem so practical. Unless you are drinking some weird type of coffee, that's not going to apply to us. But there are other Yisurim included in this lav. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel Menalef, which Rashi points out, Al Torah, says that there are actually, I think we count up to 4 lavin that are included in Lo Soch Lo Adam. A person can't eat an animal before it dies. You can't eat a korban before you did zrika, you threw the blood on the Mizbeach. You can't have a Sudas Havra. We don't have a Sudas Havra, which we have after a burial, for a person who was killed by Beis Din. And Beis Din, if they kill anyone on a particular day, they can't eat that entire day. So that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says for us. The first thing, important thing to note is that this is a classic example of Lav Shebechlalos. A Lav Shebechlalos is a very important klal. The Rambam wrote a big Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos counts all of the minyan HaMitzvos, all 613 mitzvos to his mind. The Ramban wrote Hasagos. He thought the Rambam got some things wrong, but the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. In the beginning of his Sefer HaMitzvos, he spells out for you how he got to his count. How did I get to 613? And he tells you Shurashim, he tells you Klalim. He tells you the Yesodos, the foundations as to how, what his rules are for counting mitzvos. So he asks this question in Shoresh Tesk, in the ninth Shoresh, what do you do when you get to one of these psukim? Lo soch la adam. How many lavin is that? So it's one pasuk, but we counted what so far? 5 lavin? 4 or 5 lavin? So how many lavin is it? How many do you count it as in the Torah? So the Rambam says that a lav shebechlalos, a lav which is written in one sentence but includes within it many yisurim, is only counted once in the Torah. A lav shebechlalos is only counted once in the Torah, which means there will be one iser of lo soch la adam counted in your minyan hamitzvos. It'll just have many manifestations, it'll have many applications, but it's only counted once. The other nafkamina, the other important thing about a lav shebechlalos, is that even if you do it, you do not get malkos. Generally, for any lav you do that's in the Torah, so you get whipped, you get flogged, which is a great word, by Beis Din for doing that avera, this avera, you would not get malkos for. So that's the first thing to know about lav shebechlalos. But the important thing for us is source number 4. A Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yoram Abeis. The Gemara says that we learn another thing from Lo Soch Lo Adam. What do we learn from Lo Soch Lo Adam? Says the Gemara, Lo Soch Lo Al Hadam. See the first line over there in source number 4. Lo Soch Lo Kodem Shetispalu Al Dimchem. Don't eat anything. Don't eat before you're mispalel, before you daven, before you pray, on your blood, meaning for yourself. What the Gemara is trying to say, which is codified La Halacha, is that a person may not eat before davening. Lo Soch Lo Al Hadam. A person cannot eat before he davens for his own blood, before he davens for his life, for his safety, for his parnasa, whatever he davens for in davening, he can't eat before shacharis. That's what the Gemara says over here. What about just a taste? What about a ti'ima? Just a little taste of a little morsel of food or a little taste of a drink. So says the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Vav, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Pei Tesif Katan Chaf Aleph. No, aser. You're not allowed to drink. The Gemara is unilaterally asering achila based on this pasuk of Lo Soch Lo Adam. It's an Isser Achila that does not have any exceptions. No Te'ima, no tasting, no nothing. That's it. You're not allowed to do anything before davening. So that might have been a monkey wrench in the whole procession over here with drinking coffee before davening, if people have that custom. So we might be a little stuck. We'll hopefully get around it eventually. But so far, all we know is that a person may not eat or drink before davening. The Gemara goes on in that very same source to say that there's not only a pasuk, but there's also another pasuk in Malachim Beis or Aleph. I forget already. So the Gemara says that there's another pasuk which tells us that you can't eat before davening, and the pasuk is a drasha that it says, don't throw me after your body. Don't take care of your body, then take care of me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Al tishlach, what is it? Vosi yishlach achrei gavecha. Right. You threw me away after your body. Says the Gemara, al tikri gavecha, don't read it as your body, as your being, ela ge'echa, meaning your gaiva, your pride. If a person would wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, and just feed the beast, start eating, you know, fresting, have a meal, have a drink, and then he goes to daven, so who does he think is the king? He thinks he's the king. He thinks he's in charge. Then he goes to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a show of gaiva. That's a show of his arrogance, of his ultimate pride in himself over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Hashem, that's the isser of eating before davening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Gemara, La'achish nizgazek kiba alav al machas shemayim. You're going to first be nizgah. First you're going to be so arrogant, proud, take care of yourself. And then you're going to be makabal al machas shemayim. That's a major issue that, says the Gemara, you absolutely can't do. There is a Chassidish Mahalach in this whole sugya of Losoch La'adam, which I actually heard from a very not Chassidish person. My now uncle, Rabbi Moshe Benevitz, I once heard him give a shmooze in Ensis Lakolal, where he quoted a very interesting Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya says, and I found it subsequently in other Sfarim as well, it's a Chassidish Avart that's spread. So the Baal Tanya says as follows, what does it mean Losoch La'adam? So he points out that a person is really dam. A person really is made up of dam. He's made up of blood, basar v'dam, and he should be called dam. So why is he called Adam? Why do we call a person Adam instead of Dam? Says the Baal Tanya, the reason is because that Aleph is from his yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's from his sticking, his cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. If you cling to the Alufo Shel Olam, the Aleph of the world, the head, the leader of the entire world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you kind of elevate yourself from Dam to Adam. And that's an amazing feat that Adam is able to do, which is why we're called Adam and not just Dam. Says the Baal Tanya, the Gemara is telling you, and the Pasuk, I guess, is telling you, lo sochlu al hadam. Make sure that when you wake up in the morning and you eat your first meal, it shouldn't be al hadam. It shouldn't be the person, the basar v'dam, the beast, the physical being that eats his first meal in the morning just to get a geshmak, just to go after your taiva, just to go after your desires. You eat just to fill yourself as a physical being. Lo sochlu al hadam. Wait till you're an adam. First, daven. First, reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. First, establish that kesher, that link to Hashem. And only after that, can you go ahead and eat your meal? Because otherwise, you're eating al-hadam. You're eating on your own self. You're eating just because it's you, just because you want to feed yourself. So that's not okay. Eat afterwards when you're a mensch, when you're an adam, when you've connected with the Ribono Shel Olam, say all of these chassidus rebbeim. That's really the deeper kavana behind this Gemara. Our physical actions need to be informed and directed by the spiritual, by the ruchnias, and that's what this Gemara is trying to point out. Anyways, our Gemara gives us two sources. One is this pasuk of lo soch la'adam, and the other one is a pasuk in Divrei Kabbalah, in Nach, of gaiva. That's a show of gaiva. The Mishnah Berurah brings up a third reason why a person can't eat before davening, which is that you're never allowed to eat within a certain time before doing a mitzvah. Just like you can't really eat before you say halal, the Mishnah says, just like you can't really eat before you take a lulav, you can't really eat before you do any mitzvah, so too you can't really eat before you daven. The Mishnah Berurah throws in that's a third reason. There are differences between all these reasons, but we're not going to get into it right now. What about drinking or eating during davening? What does anyone think about that? Drinking or eating during davening, based on what we said so far. I don't know who to call on. So first of all, if we just base it on what we just said, in terms of gaiva, so is it gaiva to drink during davening or eat during davening? Probably it's a kal v'chomer. Probably it's even more so. If it's bad, if it's a show of your arrogance that you're eating before davening, so certainly if you take a break, a coffee break, in the middle of davening to Ribono Shel Olam, that should also be a show of gaiva. But there are, in fact, two other hurdles a person would have to get past. The Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph spells out all the Yisurim that a person can't do in a shul, things that he can't do in a shul. So some of those things are like Sicha Betela, talking wastefully, which maybe we call for right now, hopefully not, and eating or drinking, sleeping, things like that. Smoking is brought by the postman as well. Smoking in a shul is probably an issue. Says the Shulchan Aruch, all these things are Yisurim that violate the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. If so, hopefully a person is usually davening in a shul. So if he's davening in a shul and he wants to whip out a cup of coffee or whip out a bagel in the middle of davening or something, so that's probably also somewhat inappropriate and possibly within that isser. The third issue that at least most of us in the room, or some, I don't know what the ratio is, but the men in the room will have to get past is tefillin. If you're wearing tefillin, there is an issue with eating in your tefillin. It is true that the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Mem, that's Hilchos Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that you are allowed to do an achilas arai. You are allowed to eat a temporary eating, like sort of when you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah on sukkahs, just a little bit of food. So you're allowed to eat a little bit of food in your tefillin, and that probably does apply to drinks as well, but it's not so simple. There's a Meiri in Brachos that doesn't say that, and in fact it's not clear what the shear of arai is. What does it mean to eat a little bit? What does it mean to drink a little bit? And thirdly, the post can point out that it's not clear that this heter still applies nowadays, because we don't wear our tefillin all day long. So a person could last just through davening, not eating, so maybe there is no heter to eat in one's tefillin. So you'd really have to get past three hurdles to eat or drink during davening, gaiva, the base kinesis issue, and tefillin, but certainly you wouldn't be able to, it seems like, at the simple level. And on top of that, eating before davening is very clear in the Gemara. There are sugyas about a diabetic. I think it's a diabetic needs sugar sometimes. Depends on what type of diabetes you have. So if you're someone who's diabetic and you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and you suddenly need sugar, so there are sugyas about that. There are shulas written about that, about how to proceed when you're in a shul and eating, and how to proceed in terms of making a bracha in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You want to eat a candy, you're not even make a bracha. There's literature about that. There's also literature about how we do a shal shudis in the shul. A lot of shuls have a shal shudis in the base measures in the shul, or an afraf, or a sudas mitzvah, bas mitzvah, whatever it is. So how is that okay? So that's also a discussion in the postgame. It's not so simple. It's something that needs to be really, really worked on. But anyways, for us simple people who are just trying to eat or drink during davening, not going to fly as far as we can tell. So we so far have a heter to drink coffee, basically, and we have an iser to drink coffee before davening. So what else can we glean? What else can we glean from here? So far, we have this iser to eat before davening. Is it deraisa or derabanan? Is it an iser deraisa or is it an iser derabanan? So the pasuk in Malachim is clearly not deraisa. That's not a pasuk in the Torah. That's a pasuk in Nah. What about the pasuk lo soch l'adam? That shows up in Parshas Kedoshim. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So is that an iser deraisa to eat before davening? You can't eat before davening. The Torah says so. It's aser deraisa. It's a biblical prohibition. So you'd have to get past two things to say that. One, it doesn't smell like a deraisa. It doesn't really feel like a deraisa. To not eat before davening based on this drasha, it's kind of strange, kind of funny. The other option is it's an esmachta. The Gemara oftentimes will tell you that a pasuk says something, and we learn from there such and such iser, or such and such mitzvah. But the Gemara doesn't mean that it's a drasha that the Torah is telling you that. It means the Rabbanan made this issue, they made this iser, they made this mitzvah, and they said, here's a nice hint, or here's a nice place where the Torah shows that this is what it wants. And it's not really a drasha, it's not a formal deraisa din, it's a derabanan, it's a lower level din, but at least finds a basis, it finds some relevance in this pasuk that we're quoting right now. So that would really seem more likely in our case. The second issue you'd have to get to is the following: is it a mitzvah deraisa to daven in the morning? So that's actually a big machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban says that there is no mitzvah deraisa to daven even every day, but definitely not three times a day. There is no mitzvah d'oraisa. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven be'es tzara. When a person's in a place where he needs help, he needs the Yeshuas of Hashem, then he has a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam. But other than that, says the Ramban, there is no mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. The Rambam, however, says that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven only once a day. The other two tfilos are going to be derabanan. But if we said like the Rambam, it at least open the door to saying there's an iser d'oraisa here. If you said like the Ramban, that there's no mitzvah deraisa, it's just derabanan to daven in the morning. So it's a mitzvah derabanan to daven, and it's an iser deraisa to eat before that davening? That doesn't make any sense. But if you say like the Rambam, there's a mitzvah deraisa to daven in the morning, and now you want to say it's aser to eat before davening, then at least we've opened the possibility, not saying we'd necessarily say this, but we'd open the possibility to saying that there is an iser deraisa to eat before davening. We'd be dealing with some pretty heavy issues over here. There is a strong diak that the Achronim make. It's in source number 6 and 7 over here. The Achronim make a very strong diak in the Sefer Achinuch as well as in the Rambam himself. The Rav Soloveitchik make this diak. The Menachas Chinuch makes the diak. Rav Yochum Fishel Perla makes the diak. Who else? The Yaivitz makes the diak. A lot of people make this diak. That it sounds like the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch group eating before davening with all of the other Yisurim that we learned from the Pasuk of L'Sochel Al-Dam. All the other Yisurim are probably the Raisa. So if we're grouping them all together, it sounds like they think maybe it's an Iser Daraisa. But if you look in the Rambam the Halachos in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tevila, it's very clear that he doesn't think that because he groups it together with other Yisurim Derabanan. There are two other Yisurim before davening. There's an Iser to eat, which we said. Then there's two other Yisurim. There's an Iser to take care of your business, to go, I don't know, take care of your shop before you start davening. Or also to do She'elas Shalom, to greet someone, to say Shalom Aleichem to a person in the morning before davening. Both of those are Aser before davening. Those two things are very clearly aser derabanan. So if the Rambam groups them all together, he strings them all into one thread, so it's probable that they're all on the same page. They're all only isurim derabanan. There is a ra'ah, which is a rishon in Brachos, who says that there's an iser deraisa to eat before davening, but the haskamas ha-poskim, mostly the majority of the poskim say that it's only an iser derabanan, which is still an iser, but it gives us more leeway in case of necessity, that there's only an iser derabanan to eat before davening, and that is the maskan of the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary on the Torah, that it is only an iser derabanan, the pasuk is just an asmachta, not really a real drasha. Let's take a break and talk about those other yisurim. We can flip the pages here. Let's talk about those other activities that are prohibited before davening. So in source number 8 you see, but really it comes from a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Dalet and Beis, that there are two other Yisurim which we just mentioned, She'elas Shalom, greeting someone before davening, as well as Asiyas Tzarachah, doing your business, taking care of your things before davening. Both of those are Asur. What's the reason for the Asur? Why can't you do that? So the Rashba and other Rishonim say that it's because we're scared you're going to miss tefillah. You start saying Shalom Aleichem to every guy in the street, so you're a big hacker, you'll get carried away. You'll forget to daven, or you'll miss Zman Tila. You're not such a big hacker, yeah, here. But if you are, so you can understand, you know, you get stuck there, yapping away, so you'll end up missing Tila. The other Isser, the Achronim spell this out, that really also has Siyas Tzarach of taking care of your business, going to take care of the shop, going to do business, whatever you might need to do, traveling a little far, would be also the same issue of maybe you'll miss the Zman of Tfilah, maybe you'll miss out on Tfilah altogether, you'll get so caught up, so carried away, that this really could happen. Whatever, I know, Maisim Shahayu, that this really happened, where people got caught up in things, they missed davening, they missed B'digas Chametz, you can miss serious things. Similar to B'digas Chametz, we have this issue, right? You're not supposed to do anything within that time, because you might miss it, so that's what these Yisurim are before davening. That's what the Gra says here in source number 8, that this is the reason why it's usher to do both of these things. That's what the Rashba says, and that's what Rav Willig spells out. Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita in one of his Svarim, Am Mordechai in Brachos, Rav Willig spells this out as well, that's really the core of these Yisurim before davening. I think they're assuming after Alos HaShachar. Yeah, correct. There is certainly a bookend situation over here. There's also other things to discuss. Let's say you're after Alos HaShachar, but you always daven at the 8 o'clock minion, and you're up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not going to get... I always work out for an hour, or I always do whatever. We'll get to working out maybe soon. So you're concerned? You have a set minion. They have the same discussion about Sfiras HaOmer. The person's supposed to do Sfiras HaOmer as soon as he can, right when it turns to Tzitzit Kochav and whatever your Hanhaga is. So... I learn in yeshiva, so my rev is at 10 o'clock. So I wouldn't necessarily count till 10 o'clock, which is what most of the people in the yeshiva do. But how could I go so many hours without counting if it already passed tzis? The answer is, it's my set minion, I won't forget. I always daven my rev at 10 o'clock, I'm not going to forget. So you have to really delve into all those specifics if you had some sort of real shayla. The only shaylas I asked Rav Shechter Shlita some of these shaylas. It was, of course, sort of embarrassing. He told me, basically, the sweeping answer was, I don't have an opinion, I never really thought about this. So, like, I didn't really get anywhere on that, but you'll have to ask your shaylas to different people if you have specific scenarios, but that's the basic guidelines, is that these things are usher because you might get carried away. Good. Rav Asher Weiss develops a different mahalach. He understands a little bit differently. It's sort of in source number 8 on the left side, not quite. It's in a tshuva and chelek gimel and simon beis of Minchas Asher. So Rav Asher Weiss explains that really the issue with these things before davening, not eating, the other two things, is that you're being mechabed yourself before you're mechabed the Ribono Shalom. He says this is different than gaiva. Here it's a little not so clear. His gaiva is where a person takes care of himself before mekabel ol malchus shemayim, where he feeds himself, he acts like a king, he acts in this like amazing way that I'm taking care of myself. Being mechabed yourself, or being mechabed others, by doing your business, or by greeting other people in the street, before you greet the Ribono Shalom, he says that's a little different. That's a little bit different of an iser. That's the yesod behind these isurim. What difference does it make? So Rav Asher Weiss says, a very important shayla, definitely for me, but also for other people, in America it's very normal to shower every day. So oftentimes people want to shower in the morning when they wake up. It's refreshing, it wakes you up. So is that okay? Or you're doing tzrachav, you're doing things, you're taking care of your own business, you're tending to your own dealings before davening, and that's not okay. So Rav Asher Weiss is mekil. He says that you're allowed to shower before davening. Some people don't recommend it if you wear tefillin again, because... it greases up the tefillin, it messes up the tefillin. Baruch Hashem, still an issue for me. I have maybe like a couple more months, but still an issue for me now. But you would be allowed to, says Rav Asher, shower before davening. There's a compendium of Hilchos Tefillah called Isha Yisrael, which is a very popular sefer. A lot of Pesachim Rav Chaim Kanievsky and others. So in there they quote Mekilim also, that you're allowed to shower before davening. And in the footnotes they give you all the chumras you need. Rav Shlomo Zalman did say that you should shower, but not with soap. Okay. Other people had other chumras not to shower before davening, but it seems like a fair consensus, a fair amount of the achron and the poskim say that a person would be allowed to shower before davening. That would not be within this iser. But again, we set it up that there are two different yisurim here. There's these two yisurim on the one hand of doing things before davening, she'elas shalom, and taking care of your business. Then there's the second hand, the second iser, or the third, but the second group of yisurim, is achila and shesia, drinking and eating before davening. And drinking and eating are because of gaiva, not because of a kavod or because they're going to miss the Zman Tefillah necessarily. So is there any nafkamina? Is there any difference from the fact that there are different reasons? There might be some difference in halacha. So is there any difference in halacha that matters to us? So if you look in source number 8, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Pei Tes, Sif Beis, says that although it's usher to do she'ela shalom, to greet people, to talk to people before davening, to say shalom aleichem, although that's true, if you look in source number 8, the sec... actually, I don't see it here. Source number 9, there you go. In the bold and the underline, much easier to find. I knew I would do that. V'im hiskel levarich ha-brachos, let's say you started saying berachos ha-shachar, you said a couple of the berachos ha-shachar, how many is not clear, but let's say you said a couple, ein lachash kol kach. Then you don't have to worry so much. If you started saying brachos already, then maybe you could be more makil on greeting people in the morning. Says the Ramah in the next sif, in sif gimel, in the parentheses, might be the Ramah, he says, v'yesh mekilim la'achar sh'amar mixas brachos, kodim sh'amar barach sh'amar, that people are makil on doing that as well by the iser to do asiyas tracha, the iser to do a person's business. So, say the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that in a case of where you've already said some of Berachos HaShachar, we've already davened a little bit of tefillah, so you would be allowed to be makel on saying hi, saying shalom aleichem to people in the morning before davening, and you'd be allowed to be makel on doing asiyas tracha, on doing your business in the morning before davening. Does that have to apply to eating and drinking? So I want to drink my coffee before davening, so can I wake up in the morning, say a couple of Berachos HaShachar, and then drink my coffee? Is that okay? So Rav Asher Weiss says, absolutely not. They're not the same. Because the Isser of drinking and eating before davening is an Isser of doing your own, taking care of your own body before being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. When are you Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim? At what point? In the morning. Yeah, not during Berachos HaShachar. You're during Kriya Shema, and maybe even connected to that, Tefillah, Shmona Esrei. This is already found in the Be'er Halacha in source number 10, that really, if a person wanted to eat or drink before davening, he wouldn't be able to get away with just saying a couple of brachos. That really wouldn't help him make a din. There might be a place where he'd have to be more makel, but generally, a person would not really get around it like that. He'd have to really daven until Shmona Esrei, through Kriya Shema, through Shmona Esrei, because he has to be mekabel ol machos shemayim first, and only then can he take care of his own body. So that's a chumrah that comes out, that this kula of davening a couple of berachos ha-shachar, which applies to these other yisurim, does not apply to eating before davening. So we're stuck still with coffee. So we made our cup of coffee, it's getting cold already, and we don't know if we're allowed to drink it before davening. So we feel like we're in between a rock and a hard place. But maybe we'll save the day. If you look in source number 11, we'll see actually a kula that comes out of this. We said the iser behind, the reason behind the iser of achila, of shesia, of drinking and eating before davening, is an iser of gaiva. It's basically an iser of showing arrogance before davening. So are there any foods that you wouldn't apply that to? Water. So says the Rush in Brachos in the first paragraph. Water, mayim. Why? Mayim lo shayach bu gaiva, he says. Mayim, you drink a little water before davening. That's showing arrogance. That's showing that I'm the king of the world. That doesn't show anything. You have to drink a water because you got to clear your throat. You wanna make sure you're able to daven better, even possibly. I don't know, but you want to get the saliva out of your mouth, whatever. Or you brush your teeth already, but you want to. I brush. I promise. But you wanna drink a little water. That's not a show of gaiva. There's nothing wrong with that. The Torah paskens this lalacha, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens it as well. The Torah points out that there were rishonim. Very interestingly, you said you could do that always, every day, except for Shabbos and Yontif. Why? What's the other issue on Shabbos and Yontif? Kiddush. You can't drink or eat before Kiddush. The whether or not you drink water before Kiddush is an issue. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon says you cannot drink even water before Kiddush. If you wanted to learn more about that, you'd look later on Hilchos Shabbos. But Kiddush is an issue. Are you allowed to drink or eat before Kiddush? So the Avi Ezri, that's quoted by the Torah, and the Beis Yosef says, no. You cannot drink water before davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov because you have a separate issue. It's mutter in terms of davening, but it's usher in terms of Kiddush.
Certainly coffee.
We haven't gotten anywhere on coffee yet. We're stuck there. But says the Tur, my father, the Rush, good Yichus, my father used to drink water before davening, which is very interesting. And he says the reason is because Kiddush is something that ushers you, that prohibits you from eating and drinking. That's true. But when does Kiddush set in? The Chiv of Kiddush sets in after Musaf. So if you're before davening Shacharis, you don't yet have a chiyuv of Kiddush. If you don't yet have a chiyuv of Kiddush, you don't have this second iser of drinking and eating before Kiddush. And so even on Shabbos and Yontif, says the Torah, and this is Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, that you can drink a little bit of water before davening every single day of the year, except for Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, etc., even on Shabbos and Yontif. This comes in very, very handy in a few cases. Sometimes on Shabbos, Chatzos is a little bit earlier. So a person davens at a later minyan, or he goes to a shir afterwards, or whatever. So he comes home, and he wants to eat lunch, it's after Chatzos. The issue is you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos, and the post can tell us you're not even supposed to fast until Chatzos on Shabbos. So now you're going to run into an issue that you went to davening, you went to your shir, you came home, it's after Chatzos, you want to sit down and eat, you haven't eaten all day, till noon, so you've run into this issue of fasting on Shabbos. So how do you prevent that? How do you fix that? So in yeshiva, Rav Shechter Shlita always recommends a person drink a little water before davening, especially in those months where chatzos is early. You should drink a little water before davening. It's mutter in terms of davening. It's mutter in terms of a kiddush, and you should do that to get out of this issue, so you're not fasting by the time chatzos comes around. It comes in particularly handy if the other case didn't apply to you on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we all go past chatzos, so a lot of kehilas have the minhag to make a little kiddush in the middle of davening. Not so simple. Rav Shechter doesn't recommend that. Rav Shlomo Zalman did not recommend that. Better, a person should drink a little bit of water before davening, and in that way he'll avoid fasting and still be able to daven, go to the shir, etc., until after davening. Mishnah Berurah and Siman Sadi, later on in the halachos of davening, mentions that sukkum candies or gum, something like that, where you're not really eating, you're just kind of getting a taste in your mouth, that would be mutter before davening. That's not really a show of gaiva either. So far we found one kula out of gaiva, that gaiva only prohibits things that are achilos shel gaiva, things that are achilos, which are arrogant, which are extravagant, which are elaborate eatings. Water, a little bit of a sukkum candy, something like that, not such an issue. Is there any other heter? So says the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila, in source number 12 over here, that there is another heter. Hatsamei v'haraiv, someone who is thirsty or hungry, says the Rambam, to such an extent that he can't focus on davening. If he's so hungry, or he's so parched his throat, that he can't possibly bring himself to daven a nice one essay right now, says the Rambam, that person has a heter to eat or drink before davening. Interesting expansion. The Beis Yosef quotes it, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins it. This is a halacha that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, so it's very important. So that's an extension. So what's the heter? So it's an extension from a previous heter, which the Beis Yosef quoted, which is a heter of refuah, a heter to drink or eat in a case where a person needs it for health. So a person absolutely needs to take a medicine at 6:30 a.m. That's whatever. The doctor said it has to be 6:30 a.m. every day. He has to take it on a full stomach. He has to drink a cup of water, whatever it might be. So it's l'refua. He has to do it. He can't get around it. That would be a heter. Says the Rambam, even if it's not a real refua, but a person just can't focus properly. He can't get the right intent, the right kavanas when he's davening. So then he could drink a little bit or eat a little bit to bring him back into the game, to get him back into focus. Says Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg about the first point, that maybe that's a heter to exercise before davening. He says exercise, it's really a show of gaiva? Maybe yoga is. I don't know. I'm not so involved in yoga. But exercise, you're not doing anything for leisure. You're not doing it for fun. You're doing it because you want to be healthy. You want to keep yourself in shape, especially if the doctor tells you to do it. So you want to exercise before davening. Says Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, there's a heter because it's for refuah. People are probably wondering, why are we comparing the two different yisurim to each other, eating and doing your own business before davening? Not sure about the answer to that question, but Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg does give that heter. So that's what we're dealing with now. So how can we use this Rambam to our benefit? Can we use this Rambam to our benefit that a person can eat or drink before davening to help him focus on davening? So the Mishnah Berurah in source number 13 sort of does. He says that perhaps this is the source for why a person is allowed to drink coffee or tea before davening. Because a person, he says, especially in places, I don't know if he's talking about Woodmere, but he says especially in places where people just can't function when they wake up without having a cup of coffee, he says certainly those people should maybe have a heter now to drink coffee before davening. Says the Mishnah Berurah, a very important qualification, it can't have any sugar and it can't have any milk. So I happen to like that. Almost ruined my first date because I told her to order food and I ordered a black coffee and that's it. And that was not apparently the right manners. Whatever, Baruch Hashem worked out. But if the person doesn't enjoy black coffee, so we're kind of still stuck. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't really allow for sugar and milk in your coffee, because the Mishnah Berurah defines anything that is tasty, that is especially sweet or scrumptious, if you will, that's a show of gaiva in the morning to treat yourself to a nice treat. So that is usher before davening because of gaiva. So can we get anywhere else with this? If you look to the left a little bit, notice we're moving to the left as we get more mekel. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different heter. He says the qualification, the classification of gaiva before davening is not that it's sweet, not that it's tasty, but rather that it's filling. If something is filling, then you can't eat it before davening. If it's just a taste, a morsel, just to help you get into it, just to help you get focused, that's mutter. But if it's svia, if it's filling, if it's something that's got a certain density to it, so then you can't do that before davening. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that may limit your coffee drinking also. He would allow you to put sugar in it. He would allow you to make it sweet, make it tasty. But milk, he says, might be a filling drink. That might be something, I mean, I know for my son that it seems to be pretty filling. It might be a filling drink to put in your coffee, to put milk in there. The Aruch HaShulchan does come out and say that the Olam is mekel on this. He points it out. But he at least raises the issue that maybe milk in your coffee would be an issue. So far, all we've gotten is that coffee without sugar or milk is okay, but no sugar or milk from the Mishnah Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, maybe, definitely sugar is okay. Maybe milk is okay. He's not so clear about that. Is there anyone who's even more mekel? So let's move all the way to the left over here. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is also echoed by the Stipler Gaon in the book Orchos Rabbeinu. He's quoted as having said the same exact thing, that it is mutter to drink a coffee in the morning. If a person needs it to focus on davening, a person can drink a coffee with all the trimmings, with the milk, with the sugar, whatever you want to put in there. Not really whatever, you probably shouldn't put whipped cream, but you are allowed to drink coffee with your milk and your sugar. Why? Because if you read in the smallest font, actually, if it's going to pick one of the older gentlemen here to read this one. Not joking, don't worry. The kevanship is maninu kol adam shosekach. Since everyone does this nowadays anyways, there's nothing special about drinking a cup of coffee with milk and sugar. Ein ze nikra mashke chashav linin ze. It's not called such a chashav a drink. It's not such a gaiva to drink it, and therefore it's mutter. And they say in the bottom in the footnotes that Rosh Shlomo Zalman actually himself, when he needed it, would drink a cup of coffee with milk and sugar in the morning before davening. Just as full disclosure, I drink coffee, so I have asked Rav Schechter about this in the past, because oftentimes for some reason, I'm up a little bit before davening, so can I have a little coffee? So he says yes, but he does not let me put milk in it. I have to put, I'm allowed to put sugar in, he says, but I'm not allowed to be any more makel than that and put milk in it. But again, we just saw that there were reliable poskim who said otherwise. And the other thing to note is that if there are any Sephardim in the room, or just 10 people who want to take this, Rav Avadya Yosef has a whole tshuva about this, and he says that while he can find heterim for everyone to drink coffee with milk and sugar before davening, he ends by saying, nachon lahachmir, it's better for a person to try to be machmir. Again, if you're holding the heter of Shlomo Zalman, or Shlomo Zalman wouldn't let you go to, we shouldn't use any store in particular, but some fancy store to get a beefed up, what's a beefed up drink? I don't know. Mocha latte, culotta, Dunkachino, whatever it is. So that's already a show of like I'm setting up a geshmaka meal for myself before davening. That's not the normal routine. If it is, it's another issue. But if you just want to have some coffee in the morning, even with your milk and sugar, these poskim would tell you it's okay. So we had an interesting ride tonight. We went through the heter to drink coffee in the first place, and Baruch Hashem, we got to that. And we went through the iser to drink before davening, and we, Baruch Hashem, came to a heter that it's possible to drink coffee in one or all of three ways, depending on who's the posek you would ask your question to. I wanted to end, if possible, with just a thought on the parsha. It was as follows. The psukim in Parshas Pinchas, when we're talking about all the different karbanos, so one of the more famous pieces of the parsha that talk about the karbanos is the karban tamid, the daily, twice a day, offering that we bring bein arabayim and then shacharis every day in the morning and in the evening hours. So that's the karban tamid. We read it every Rosh Chodesh. Tzavas b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehems karban ilach mi li yishai reyach nichochi tishmeru lahakriv li b'mo ado. In the Sefer by Rav Chaim Zaitchik, he points out that there's a Zohar HaKadosh. There's a Zohar which says there's something very funny here. The words lahakriv li, bring this karban for me. Lahakriv li b'mo ado. Tishmeru lahakriv li b'mo ado. Bring it to me in its time. What is this lahakriv li? By no other carbon does Hashem say, bring this carbon to me. He tells you to bring the carbon, to do the carbon the way the halacha says, but he never tells you, bring it to me, lahakriv li. So what is that, says the Zohar. So I want to answer that question, but let's leave it for just a minute, because there's another interesting question that may relate. A little bit earlier in the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that he needs to pass on the leadership to the next person. So he gives a tefillah, he gives a davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, please make sure that the next leader is fitting, he's roi, to take over the nation. He says, Asher Yetzei Lifneihem, he should go up before them, Asher Yavol Lifneihem, is very repetitive, Asher Yotziim, Asher Yeviim, he should bring him out, bring him in. Below Sia Adas Hashem, that the nation of Hashem should not be, listen, Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Roa, that Hashem, don't let them be leaderless, because you know what happens when they're going to get leaderless? I'll give you a mashal, Hashem. When a person doesn't have a leader, when he doesn't have someone showing them the way, so the nation will become like flock without a shepherd. They'll be wandering, roaming all over the place with no direction, no guidance. It's just not a good situation. Hashem, please make sure there's a fitting leader to take over after me. The question is asked, what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Kadosh Baruch Hu here? He needs a mashal? Hashem doesn't understand. If you don't have a leader, it won't be good. Can't put that together. So Moshe has to tell him all the things he needs for a leader. You need this list of things that he should have on his resume. And then he tells him, just to understand them, Hashem, if there's no leader, it's going to be bad. They're going to be like a flock that doesn't have a shepherd. They're going to be wandering, roaming, without any direction. Why is he giving a mushel? Why is he painting this picture for the Ribono Shalom? Very strange. So the Bali Musar Beroshayim of Eliyahu Lopian given a very, very fascinating answer, and a very sodistic answer, and that is, Moshe Rabbeinu was not painting this picture for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was not giving the mushel for Hashem. He was actually painting the picture for himself. Because in tefillah, in davening, when a person is trying to connect, when he's trying to feel his tefillah, when he's trying to really connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask for what he needs and what other people need, so he needs to have this tziur, they call it. He needs to have this image, this painting, fresh in his mind of what it is exactly that he's feeling. If he's davening for a chola, so it needs to be that he sees that chola, Nebuch, suffering in front of him, and then he can summon up from within him the proper tefillah, the proper kavana to daven. If he feels the need, so he'll be able to feel the tefillah. Reb Chatzka Levenstein, who was the Mashgiach in Panovich, also before that, other places, but when the Panovich Rav was sick, so he was lying in a bed in the hospital, and Reb Chatzka, the Mashgiach, got up in Panovich and he said, you should know, you're all mechuyev, you're all obligated to daven for the Panovich Rav, for your Rosh Yeshiva, for your leader. He said, obviously, you have to daven for any sick Jew, but especially because the Panovich Rav is responsible for everything going on here, and you owe him so much akar satov. Reb Chatzka went on and said, let me explain to you how to daven for the Panovich Rav. You want to know how to daven? Start your Shmona Esrei. And when you get to, let's say, Rifayinu, so imagine yourself walking into the cold, damp hospital room. You see the Panovich Rav, your great Rebbe, laying in the bed, rolling in pain, groaning. Just, it looks terrible. It smells like sick people. That doesn't feel right. And you, all of a sudden, you over here to the left, you hear a doctor is whispering to each other, this is not good. Not sure what the next step is. He really needs a Yeshua. And all of a sudden, you feel, I need to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no other way. There's no other way to take care of this. And all of a sudden, a tefillah comes out of you. A tefillah just jumps out of your heart and says, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heal this person. Please, take care of this tefillah for me. Please, help us out. You need to draw up that image. You need to paint that picture. You need to make that mashal, not for Hashem, for yourself. You need to understand what you're davening for. You need to understand what you're feeling. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was making this mashal, making this picture for Hashem. Don't let Am Yisrael go without a leader, because they're going to be like sheep walking around without a leader, and that's no good. And then Moshe Rabbeinu felt that tefillah, and he could really daven from the heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Karban Tamid, which we started with, it's a very complicated karban. It's every single day. It's twice a day. It's a keves achat tasebok, baboker as a keves hashnit taseben arbayim. Every single day consistently. It's a tremendous zechus. It's a wonderful thing that we have an opportunity to do this every single day, twice a day, but it brings with it a challenge. It could become routine. It could become something that you do by rote. Anything that you do by rote could lose that hispilus. It could lose that feeling of your enhancing your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that this carbon is supposed to be lahakriv li. It's supposed to be a carbon lashem. It's supposed to be an advancement of our relationship, of our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we lose that sometimes when we're in the flow of things, when we're just on autopilot. So says the Torah, Lehakriv li b'moado. By the one carbon that it says it is the carbon tamid, the carbon which comes every day, day in, day out, that you might become accustomed to. You might lose that feeling. Lehakriv li. Remember who you're bringing this carbon to. Li, to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then when you draw that image in your mind, then you could have the kavanas, then you could have the proper connection to what you're doing. Rav Zaitchik says that when he was in Bialystok before the war, so one time they had this chus, amazing opportunity to say Birkas Achama. How often does Birkas Achama come? Every 28 years, about. So everyone was very excited. He remembers the way they danced. He remembers the way they cried. He remembers the way they said their brachas for hours. Unbelievable. So a little while later, so there was a sheikh in town, and the sheikh did a shechita. And after the shechita, they were mechabed Reb Chaim Zaitchik to do the kisui adam. Cool mitzvah. He's never done it before. So he was going to make a shechianu. And he, whatever he did, he put on the gartel, he went to the mikvah, he had the kavanas, he was crying, he was so moved. He describes it as himself. It took him minutes to say the bracha. And as he's doing this, he looks to his left and sees the shochet, looking at him like he's crazy. He looked at him like he was absolutely crazy. What, you've never seen a shechita before? You've never seen blood? You've never seen a shechita? Like, what is this? He realized that a person who gets used to the mitzvah, even an important mitzvah, even something so exciting, you get used to it, so it loses the geshmak, it loses the focus, the goal, the ultimate reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being connected to this act. Oftentimes, we go through life on autopilot. We go through Avodah Hashem on autopilot. Our arms put on our tefillin, our mouths daven the tefillah, our legs run to the shiurim. But Rachmana li babai, Rachmana wants the heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our feelings, our emotions, our hearts. He wants that our mitzvot should be with that hispilus, with that hislavus, with that excitement, with that feeling of ultimately connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our mitzvot should be lahakriv li, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring ourselves, like the carbon tabin especially, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should work especially in the times of Bina Mitzarim, when we're lacking that inspiration of the Beis HaMikdash, that you would show us the excitement, the thrill, or at least it gives us the opportunity to notice the thrill and the excitement of Avodas Hashem, during these 3 weeks it would be an important time to work on this Avodah, to really feel, to really think when we dive in, to conjure up the image in our minds, when we do mitzvahs, to realize what exactly we're doing, how we're connecting to Hashem, and in that way, hopefully, we'll be makariv ourselves, lahakriv li b'mo'ado, closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll all have a tzlach on these inyanim, and we'll talk more about coffee in future weeks in Mitzvah Hashem.